Hello, we are here today to do a brief synopsis of the Mountain Children's Network presentation on poverty, the forgotten epidemic. My name is Susan Mims with Mission Children's Hospital. I am here today with Calvin Tompkins with Mission Health Partners in Asheville Pediatrics and Lori Polvar with ABC Pediatrics and our champion community advocate for children. So our presentation is called The Forgotten Epidemic because poverty is something that is around us all the time and we sometimes just miss it. I was in clinic seeing a patient for a dental pre-op, and as I usually do, talked with this little girl about brushing her teeth. And she looked up at me and said, "I can't brush my teeth." When I asked her why not, she said, "Because we don't have any water in the car where we live." And that illustrates how poverty's around us all the time, and sometimes we just don't see it. So the learning objectives for our presentation included gaining a better understanding of the prevalence of poverty and how it affects our patients, the children we see all the time, understanding how it affects daily lives of our patients and our healthcare approaches to the social determinants of health, and what resources we have in our state and regional efforts are going on to really mitigate the problem. In the U.S., there are 15 million children living in poverty. That is 21%, a fifth of all children are living in poverty. And to a family of four, that's an income of around $25,000 a year. 43% of the children who live in low-income families, and that's below 200% of the federal poverty level. Nearly half of our children are living with very restrained means. And many of these families work. Sometimes their parents are working multiple jobs. In Western North Carolina, we know these numbers are even worse than in the United States and in North Carolina. And there are significant differences among our counties and among our racial and ethnic populations as well. Some of our counties are approaching 50% of children living in poverty, especially as we see in Swain County. To bring attention to this matter, the American Academy of Pediatrics has included poverty and child health as one of the major focus areas, and many other organizations are raising this conversation. One of the ways that you can appreciate what it means to a family or individual to live in poverty is through a simulation. There is a link on a slide to playspent.org, which allows you to conduct a simulation and really understand what it's like for a family to make difficult decisions when they have limited means. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Tompkins.
Yeah. So I think we're kind of at a crossroads where reimbursement models for the healthcare industry are kind of more aligned with health and have put health outcomes more as the goal, as opposed to volumes of treating patients for various illnesses. So as our reimbursement models change and focus more on health, we're also more aware of what drives those health outcomes. And it's taken the healthcare industry a long time to really acknowledge the fact that we play a very small role in an individual's health status, and that one's health status is really determined by many, many other things, and those have been kind of compartmentalized in the social determinants of health to include social and economic factors, health behaviors, and physical environmental factors, in addition to what happens in our clinics and hospitals. MHP's care coordination strategy has taken this into consideration. So most care coordination platforms reinforce the disease education that patients are receiving in hospitals and clinics, and seeks to just echo those messages. Our model is different in that most of its work is really bent on screening patients for across their social determinant needs and filling those gaps as appropriate. And so we can see here that the comprehensive assessment includes a rigorous social determinant screen and needs that are identified with respect to housing, education, food availability and food security, transportation, legal help, interpersonal safety. All of those needs and gaps are identified through screening, and then we have a panel of community programs and existing services in the community that we can connect patients with on a very discrete basis. So this is one way that we've started to operationalize being able to address poverty, is to break poverty down by its ingredients and address those on a one-to-one basis. This is much in line with Medicaid, as our state is moving towards, and the plan that the state has put out has social determinant screening really at its core of care management efforts. And we've been, even though MHP is one of the a leader of ACOs in this space, we have been able to demonstrate results. And so for readmission rates, comparing patients that were touched by our care coordination team relative to ones that have not, we've seen lower utilization rates over a period of time. And so we're encouraged by this work, and we're always looking for ways to better address social determinant needs and filling those gaps. I will turn it over to Dr. Pulver now.
All right. So as Dr. Mims reminded us, poverty is a big problem for children and families that we serve here in Western North Carolina. And as Calvin has reminded us, there are efforts in the healthcare system and reimbursement models to help us target these issues. But what else can you do as individual providers to help our families and our patients? And the AAP has reminded us in 2016 in their policy statement on poverty that there are evidence-based ways that we know help families, help lift them out of poverty, and help them be resilient when they are affected by limited resources. And these are tax policies that support working families, like the Earned Income Tax Credit, the Child Tax Credit, temporary assistance for needy families, direct financial aid we know works, access to comprehensive health care, early childhood education, nutrition support, which you're all familiar with, and home visitation programs like our nurse and family partnerships, and family and parenting support. In addition, as providers, we are charged by the AAP to collaborate with community organizations and to advocate for public policies that support all children and help ameliorate the effects of poverty on children and their health. And we are lucky in that we have a lot of active people in our community and in Western North Carolina doing this. And one such organization is Children First Communities and Schools. This is a nonprofit that's been around for over four decades, trying to really help children in Buncombe County and Western North Carolina out of poverty. And they do this with a two-pronged approach: direct services. So there are family resource centers at two of our elementary schools. We've got after-school learning centers in some of our lower resource neighborhoods. There's mentoring and enrichment via a whole corps of AmeriCorps volunteers, and we've got student support specialists in five of our public schools. In addition, Children First Community Schools has spawned off the Success Equation, which is a community-wide effort to address poverty by going after policies and root causes. So instead of just providing direct services and assistance, we're trying to advocate for a healthier public, local, and state environment that promotes these policies that the AAP has told us are evidence-based and work. And so that's an important thing for you all to know about and tap into if this is something you're interested in. And in an exciting update this year, the Success Equation has partnered with NC Child, and we are serving as the Western hub of NC Child's advocacy around statewide health measures. For example, with the upcoming election, we are targeting Medicaid expansion as a goal to help families in Western North Carolina and across the state, and helping support early childhood education with adequate funding. So those are two measures we're actively working on over the next month. And if you are interested in getting involved in that, please contact Greg Borum at Children First Communities and Schools. And if you're just interested in becoming a better skilled advocate or finding more opportunities to advocate, please tap into the Success Equations Network. You can follow them on Twitter at CFCIS Advocacy, or on Facebook at Facebook/Success Equation, or contact Greg Borum. His email address is it's GregB@ChildrenFirstCIS.org. Thank you all for what you do for children in Western North Carolina, and we look forward to working together to decrease poverty and its effects. Thanks.